Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 4, The Forest of Enjoyment. Translation: every year the plowman plows over his grain field, completely uprooting all weeds. Nonetheless, the seeds lie there, and, not being completely burned, again come up with the plants sown in the field. Even after being plowed under, the weeds come up densely. Similarly, the Grihastha Ashram, family life, is a field of fruitive activity. Unless the desire to enjoy family life is completely burned out, it grows up again and again. Even though camphor may be removed from a pot, the pot nonetheless retains the aroma of camphor. As long as the seeds of desire are not destroyed, fruit of activities are not destroyed. Purport. Unless one's desires are completely transferred to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the desire for family life continues, even after one has taken sannyas. Sometimes in our society, ISKCON, a person out of sentiment may take sannyas, but because his desires are not burned completely, he again takes to family life, even at the risk of losing his prestige and disgracing his good name. These strong desires can be burned out completely when one fully engages in the service of the Lord in devotional service. Yeah. So we'll be going through three purports here, so we'll start with this one. Then the point is that was being brought out, the material world is based on material desire, that there's an idea that I can enjoy the material world, that there's actually something here, something of value that we can gain. The difficulty is that there isn't, but we still try. By mental speculation, we come up with newer and newer ideas, right? If a desire is there and it's been frustrated, then what's the path forward, right? It means I have a desire for something, but so far my endeavors have failed. I have not gotten results of that desire. I have not become happy or satisfied. So now, basically, I have two alternatives. One is I, through mental speculation, come up with new alternatives that I had not thought of before. And in this way, then, okay, maybe this way I'll enjoy. Like that, I haven't tried that. Or one can understand that, no, it's a principle that the material world cannot satisfy you. Therefore, the only way is to take up devotional service, right? Because, how you say, being happy is the position that the living entity strives for. There's no alternative to that. Even the Mayavadis are thinking, I'll be happy by merging in the Brahman. Or the Buddhists think, I'll be happy by not existing. Right? Or the person thinking that they're the nihilist, or the person jumping off the bridge, he's thinking that I will be happy if I kill myself. But the point is if you're dead, how do you know? Right? So it's not well thought out, these plans. So therefore, then one makes the decision that only in devotional service, because this is the natural position of the soul. This is what the soul does, right? This is what the soul can do. Is it has to do activity, because we see here that's the point, activity's going on. But in that activity, if we maintain the mundane, then it will simply grow, sprout up again and again. Different ways, different approaches, but it's still the same thing. That's why the term's chewing the chewed. It's not different. It just appears to be different. I have something. Okay, I have the glass, right? I have a drink inside. I take a sip. Not so good. So then, okay, I turn the glass a little bit. Then I take a sip. Still not very good. Okay, I move it over to the other side of the table. I try a sip. That didn't work. I pick it up with my other hand, try a sip. I get a different glass, pour it in there, try a sip. Right? It's still going to be the same, even though the external form changes, because that's all there is. You're dealing with the same thing, you just change the form. So, it, or, you know, does that make sense? You're just changing the form so you think it's different. Therefore, the phrase, old wine, new bottle, right? It's just you change the shape so you think, yes, now it's different, but mundane enjoyment is always the same. The living entity, because of his eternal nature, cannot relate to things that are temporary. Right? Something's good, we never like it if it's temporary. It's just the way it works. So, therefore, there is no solution. But, as pointed out here, the plowman, every year he does it because he doesn't think it's so important, and the weeds come up with everything else. But it says they have to be burned. So they have to get them all together, spend that extra thing, put them together, burn them, then they don't come up. But here is, we don't worry about them. They're not a big deal. So therefore, then these things come up. So no matter what the position in life, it's not safe without Krishna consciousness. Any position is always going to have a disastrous element to it if there's not Krishna consciousness. It's the only thing that can generate, a stable position. Otherwise, one will always be constantly changing and adjusting to try to find that perfect situation of enjoyment, which doesn't exist. So that's why it's, you know, this chapter is describing the unfortunate positions the living entity puts himself in. Because of not seeing Krishna, then everything is a problem. And if you see Krishna, then there's no problem. That's the thing. All it means, you'll see in every point that's brought up, that on its own, by a fact, it is a problem. Whether we like it or not, whether it's politically correct or not, it doesn't matter. It's facts. Right? We have to remember, what does political correctness mean? Take a fact and give it a fancy name, and then somehow or another it's better. That's what political correctness is. It's not any better than that. Right? You know, don't want to shock anybody, but that's it.
You take reality and you give it some fancy poetic name, it doesn't seem so bad anymore. The material world is bad from top to bottom. There's nothing good about it. The only thing good about it is the connection to Krishna. We're in the world because we think we're not connected to Krishna. I can enjoy this place because there's me and all this facility and enjoyments, as opposed to, no, that all this is Krishna, it's all Krishna's, we get connected to Him, then it becomes perfect. That's how it becomes perfect. No amount of sense gratification, isms, proper performance of duty, understanding that we're not the body, none of this will solve any material problems. They'll always come up again until one comes to the fifth platform of transcendence, then one gets to that. So that's the whole idea. So this chapter is bringing up to just point out the facts. And then from there we see it's connected to Krishna, everything's perfect. Don't connect it to Krishna, it's actually as bad as Bhagavatam said. It's not that, you know, hey, this is a Vyasadeva's having a bad day, and so he's a grumpy, so you know, there's a few chapters in here that we're not even going to Krishna. No, these are just he was being straightforward. We're dealing with that. Okay, then the next point, chapter 5. Sometimes the conditioned soul and household life, being attached to material wealth and possessions, is disturbed by gadflies, mosquitoes, and sometimes locusts, birds of prey, and rats being disrupted. Nonetheless, it still wanders down the path of material existence. Due to ignorance, it becomes lusty and engages in fruitive activities. Because his mind is absorbed in these activities, he sees the material world as permanent, although it is temporary, like a phantasmagoria, a house, a sky.
The following song is sung by Narottam Das Thakur. Ahankare, ahankare, matahoya, nitaipada, pasharia, asatyere, satya, korimani. Due to forgetting the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and being puffed up by material possessions, wealth, and opulence,
one thinks the false temporary material world to be an actual fact. This is the material disease. The living entity is eternal and blissful. But despite his miserable material conditions, he thinks the material world to be real and factual, even his ignorance. And so now, here's the cause of this. It's his ignorance that he thinks the material world is permanent. Because that's why will you invest in something that's temporary? I probably use the example that if you are able to stay in somebody's house or some house, you'll be there a week. You don't go in and review the floor, bring the carpet change, the curtains change. You don't do that. Why? Because you're going to be gone in a week. But
if were they going to be there for a little longer, then we think, yes, now that's worthwhile. So it's ignorance that makes us think it's worth the investment. But actually, it's not, because time goes by in a moment. It means factually, you think back over your whole life now. How long, you know, the whole life, you can go through it. You know, basically you need a rerun because it went through so quick, right? So now the point is the rest of your life is going to be that same amount of time. So if you look back and it's a few moments, you can go over your whole life, in a few moments you'll be at the end of life. It's that quick. It's not any slower. Just how it works. So, by forgetting the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, in other words, this aspect of the Lord, of Guru, and understanding the situations, right? Because there's two aspects. There's the situations you're in, and then there's what you do with those situations. It means in the way of your intent. It means the situation, how you mechanically work with it, that's one side of it. The other side is what's your intent, what's your purpose of working with that situation. Right? So, therefore, then Nityananda Prabhu, he is seeing that side. That the situations of the material world, how you deal with those situations, right? That's by his grace, then one can see it in reality and not in illusion. So you can see it for what it is, and then use it properly in Krishna's service. Following the mechanics rightly, just because you understand that the material world is useless doesn't mean you can't use it properly. Does that make sense? Just like how useful is a knife for opening a can? Not actually very useful. But you can do it if you do it properly. So that's the point. Material world is useless, but you can still engage it in the Lord's service. So that's the idea. By Lord Nityananda Prabhu's grace, then when one looks at the world, one will not see opportunities for sense gratification. Right? One will see that this place is meant for serving Krishna. Right? It's still Krishna's kingdom. So wherever you are in God's kingdom, you serve the Lord. Simple. Right? Then one can give up the idea that this is eternal. But giving up the idea that it's eternal doesn't mean one can't deal with it properly. It's just now that one deals with it properly with the intent to please Krishna. That's the other side. That's Radharani, the devotional. Means the intent. I'm using the material for pleasing Krishna. Text 6. Sometimes in this house in the sky, Gandharvapura, the conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex. Being overly attached, he chases after the objects of the senses, just as the deer chases a mirage in the desert. Purport. There are two worlds, the spiritual and the material. The material world is false like a mirage in the desert. In the desert, animals think that they see water, but actually there is none. Similarly, those who are animalistic try to find peace within the desert of material life. It is repeatedly said in different shastras that there is no pleasure in this material world. Furthermore, even if we agree to live without pleasure, we are not allowed to do so. Right. So even if you want to say, okay, I'll be renounced, I won't get into all this and stuff, but still you can't do that either. Right? You still have to engage and be involved in the process. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that the material world is not only full of miseries, dukkhalayam, but also temporary, ashashvatam, right? Because we think it's full of pleasure and eternal. So that's where the Bhagavatam is pointing out. It's temporary and full of miseries. That's the fact. Even if we want to live here amid miseries, material nature will not allow us to do so. Even if you say, okay, however bad it is, okay, I accept that. She'll make it worse. You know, it's just the way it functions. It will oblige us to change bodies and enter another atmosphere full of miserable conditions. So we adjust with this miserable condition, but then next life we'll have a different set of miserable conditions. So, you know, even the greatest stoic would have a little problem with that, right? So it's designed that we're not supposed to be here. So all it is these are the chapters that wake us up to we don't belong here. Then having that understanding, then we can move into the very nice aspects of how to connect everything to the Lord. That's the whole point. The point is not to just to leave it at the material world as a place of misery, but the point is it being a place of misery, the living entity wanting an eternal life of happiness, therefore we take to the spiritual. Probably mentioned, there's two worlds, the material, the spiritual. You can take either one you want. Spiritual will get you what you want. The material, it just can't. We will say, no, if I make this adjustment, that adjustment, I'll be happy. Still, we're not happy. You reduce one problem, a new problem comes up. That's all. It's just the way it works. You know, you improve one thing, and that improvement creates other problems. So you're always then correcting all, you're always solving the problems corrected by solving the problems. That's material existence. That's basically what one spends one's life doing. So then one comes to the point eventually that it's not worth it. One gives that up and leaves that to the next generations. Let them have the fun. Right? And then one figures out, no, we just absorb ourselves in Krishna. So the sooner we do that, the easier. We're given that opportunity, right? Rather than wait until one's old, one can start from the beginning, right? So that then the whole life goes nicely, and at the end of life, then it goes even better. Like that. Okay. Any questions on any of these parts? Yes? No? Yes.
After reading all these descriptions, how do one get motivated to work? Because the basic principle is place to misery.
Get motivated to work means, what do you mean by work?
Engagements related to work.
But what do you mean by engagements?
For example, a householder trying to work a job, so after he reads this.
No, he reads this, but then the point is what's the whole thing if we do reverse it here, okay? Why is the materialist working hard at his job? To get the facilities to enjoy life. Now, if you understand you can't enjoy life, yes, naturally then the thing is why I should work. That's the standard mundane approach. But does that correct it? No, that's it meaning before. You pull up that weed. It means, in other words, he pulled up some weeds that he sees the uselessness of it. But does his desire for enjoyment go away? No. So all it is he'll create a new situation for his household environment. That's all. That's standard. That's going on today as it is. Even if they don't read Bhagavatam, somebody at one point figures this is stupid. And then gives it up. And then come back in a short time, he has a new family arrangement. Right? And then he says, that's stupid. And then he has another one and another one. So all it is that it's a matter of how their character and how long they can keep them going. Good character, then they can keep it going longer time. Not so good character, it becomes shorter time. Right? Does that make sense? So, but it's still the same principle. Whether you give it up at the end of life, but then you have another body, or within this life you go through it a few times. It's the same principle. It's just a matter of piety. Right? But the point is that for the devotee, so there is no alternative that there is a better solution. That's the mental speculation. We think we'll make this adjustment or that adjustment, then it will be fine. But it never is. It's only if you take up Krishna consciousness, see it in light of that, then everything remains perfect. Because for the grihastha, how is he going to engage himself in the Lord's service? He has all this facility, he has family, what's he going to do? Right? So now he does his job, he takes care of the family, interacts so that they can be Krishna conscious. So you change the intent, you don't have to change the endeavor. Does that make sense? The man is cooking potatoes, he'll end up with a potato preparation. Now his intent, is it for himself or is it for Krishna? Mechanics don't change, so the grihastha doesn't have to change his endeavor. He only has to change his intent. Right? But to be able to do that, you have to understand that your intent's wrong. That's the grace of Lord Nityananda. Right? Then by the grace of Srimati Radharani, then you can engage it in Krishna's service. Right? Does that make sense? So the situation doesn't change, it's how you view the situation. Because the situations don't change in the material world anyway. We just make adjustment. We change the direction. We sit in a different place. Then when we move, someone else comes and takes our place. So the situation that we said, this is useless, that's what the next person comes and says, this is great. And the situation that another person said is useless is the one that we take up and say, this is new and fresh. Does that make sense? You know, there's a good chance that the people who live in the Bahamas, when they go on vacation, they don't stay in the Bahamas. You understand? Yeah. So that's the whole idea. Okay. Something else? Yes.
Good intentions,
okay.
Devotional service. But still I get distracted by not following properly or listening to wrong sources, following that and like that. But where is the fault in my case? My intention is good.
Okay, intention is good. But the point is if you want to factually, it means our intention is good, but the endeavor is not very good. So the endeavor is based on your understanding of the situation. Right? So that's as is mentioned, that's Sankarshana. So Balaram is Sankarshana. Nityananda is Sankarshana. So you can only see the situation for what it is by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. Then your endeavor will be proper. You can't have a proper endeavor without a proper understanding. That's why there's study, that's why we're sitting here in this class. Right, so that our endeavor in the day will go properly because we have the proper view. Right, so the intent is good, but we would tend to say it's a bit sentimental because it doesn't have a solid foundation. Because then the difficulty is if I'm making my endeavor and the endeavor is not getting the result I'm expecting, I may connect that that's due to my intent. So if I change, then I'll fall into the a misunderstanding that if I change my intent, then I'll change my results. But you won't. Now it'll be that one will still have difficulties without having proper direct intent. You know what I'm saying? So you start from the goal, that the goal is for Krishna. But to do that, then you have to know who we are. Right? Does that make sense? I have to know the situation. And because I know the situation for what it is, then a pious person can still deal with it. Impious people tend to give it up. Right? Does that make sense? So you have two kinds of impious approaches. One is one can't relate to following rules and regulations and prescribed duties. It's beyond one's capacity, so one has a tendency to not give it up. I mean, one wants to give it up. The other is then the impersonalist who also, his end result of his endeavor is he goes to hell, so it can't be a pious position. It's good in that it's renounced, but their perception of it and the lack of understanding of the soul, their main thing is their inability to distinguish in transcendence. They can't tell the difference between one aspect of transcendence and another. That's why it's Mayavadi. Variety means mundane. So if I say, this is this, that's that, and you say, oh, that's mundane, Prabhu. But you're talking about it in Krishna consciousness, that's Mayavadi philosophy. Mayavadis can't tell the difference between one spiritual activity and another. Only devotees can. So this inability to be able to distinguish that if it's mundane, I don't deal with it, right? Or if it's mundane, but then why we're saying it's mundane, you know, we're devotees. But the point is facts are facts, and devotees can deal with it. It's the non-devotees that can't deal with it. It's the Mayavadis that can't deal with it. As though the xenophobic, they can't deal with it. You understand? These are the people that can't deal with it. Devotees can deal with it. Why? Because they can see the spiritual and the material at the same time. If it's you can only see one or the other, if you only see the spiritual, that'll be sentimental. If you only see the material, that'll be illusion. You have to be able to see them both at once. So you have to choose your association and keep trying. That's why sadhana bhakti is practice. So don't worry if it's not getting the result. You keep at it. If you're following what's recommended, it'll work. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
So if the endeavor essentially is the same externally, how do I check the level of my sincerity? How do I know that I'm thinking I'm doing devotional service, but actually I'm just interested in
Who's the result for? Who's the result for?
Well, I might think that I'm doing it for Krishna.
But the point is we think, but we have to know. That's the whole point of why we're saying analyzing the field. Because if you think it is, but it's not, it means you haven't analyzed the field. You understand? Means, in other words, there's lack of knowledge here. There's ignorance is there. So it's a mixed result. So, which happens, which it's not a problem in the beginning to have such a situation, because that's the meaning of progressing through the devotional process of the levels. Is in the beginning, it will be mixed. It is about us, and we've connected it to Krishna. But eventually, then it has to be about Krishna, and we're connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? So we have to analyze it. It means, how is it going? How is it working? What's the results? Is it good? Are people happy with it? Are they complaining about it? What's the difficulty? Why are they complaining about it? You know, so by looking at it in these various ways, one can get an idea. And then from one's own analyzation, why are you doing it? Okay, because you're getting the result. It's for Krishna. But the point is to endeavor means you have to have a desire. What's the actual desire? Does that make sense? So you analyze these things. The thing is reality isn't a problem for the devotee. Like that. It's not a matter of prestige. That I'm a neophyte and I have a lot of mundane desires, to avoid that is not going to improve the prestige. Maybe amongst one's little circle, but in reality, the prestige within the spiritual world is not going to improve. Right? Understanding what it is, understanding only by the mercy of the Lord and His devotees, then we can progress through this. And by their mercy we can progress through this. That's reality. That catches Krishna's attention. But trying to cover it up using fancy words, this and that, and just trying to say that, you know, we're okay, I'm okay, you're okay. This is old stuff. We're thinking this is cutting edge. This is really old. This is 60s stuff. And that 60s stuff is based on 50s stuff. And the 50s stuff is based on going back before 100 or 200 years. So this kind of bohemian kind of thing that everything's cool is it's really old. Basically it goes back to the Greeks. You know, so it's a few thousand years old. So if you want to talk old, this is old. But they're thinking, no, this is new, cutting edge, fresh. It's old as the hills. Liberal is old. Right? I mean, what's his name? Caesar was a liberal. Look what it did for him. You know? So the whole point is there's always been. It's always there. There's nothing new. So you have to look at it and see actually what it is. Why am I doing it? So having seeing that and seeing the facts, is not a problem, then dealing with the facts, it's just like this. If I have a bunch of potatoes and some parts of them aren't good, so now should I just euphemistically give them a fancier name? You know, like the hindsight. Perfectionally challenged potatoes or something, and now I use the whole thing? No, I'm still going to peel them, take the eyes out, take out the parts that are black or green or whatever it is. It's just there may be a little bit less left after I finish, and then I use them. That's what a devotee does. Fools come up with fancy terminologies, because then you think rotten potatoes are fine. The Bhagavatam points out they're not fine. If you think they're fine, great. Then it's just another birth. That's all. If you think it's fine here, you take birth here again. You understand it's not fine here, then you can go back to Godhead. Because why would you take shelter of Krishna if you thought here is going to give you shelter? A devotee takes shelter of Krishna because there is nothing else. That's the reason. There's nothing fine here, but this is what we got. We use what we have. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Is the devotee is practical. They're down to earth. This is what we have. This is what we do.
Not that it's perfect, but it's by engaging in Krishna service that makes it perfect. Because no amount of material or nature will make anything perfect. Indra is still not satisfied with what he's got. He's there. He's got the upstarts and everything. And he's down in Gokarna's house when Gokarna leaves the house because his wife's good looking. You know? He's in charge of the whole universe in there. He's managing it. And Vishwarupa's offering, he's a priest, he's offering the oblation of the Indra, but because he's from the demon family, he's also offering for the benefit of the Indra. Indra can't handle that. But it's already in control.
Please Krishna. So it's just a matter of practice. But if you know, that's devotional service. If you don't know, that's called Agyata Sukriti. Right? The man walking down the street, he sees the Ratha Yatra going by, the devotees are in ecstasy dancing. He thinks it's kind of amusing. So he puts down his briefcase and for a moment puts his hands up in the air and jumps up and down and like this and that, and he thinks, okay, that was fun. Picks up his briefcase and heads down to, you know, his office. To him it was just either getting into the mood or copying the devotees or just doing something crazy for the day, or he didn't know it was devotional service, but because he doesn't know, it's called Agyata Sukriti. It's eternal and never be lost. That will add to his eventual having faith and developing, you know, then taking up the practice. You know it's devotional service, that's where you get the devotional benefit. You understand? So that's why that combination of the proper intent and the proper knowledge, that combination is very powerful. Right? Because then you'll make a good endeavor. Right? Because if you have proper, it means endeavor is based on knowledge, but endeavor means to do the activity, I have to have knowledge. But to get the results, I have to know where I'm going. So that requires the intent. You understand? So that's where the two meet. So that's the pastimes. That's the process. So process is the meeting of my knowledge in Krishna consciousness and the goal in Krishna consciousness. So those two are combined as activity in Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Something else? No? Yes.
Reading the verse where Krishna says, do your duty, but be detached from the results. I'll give you the results. And he was asking from the point of view, he's working in a job, and his boss is setting up a deadline, say, for example, by end of December this year, we should do this project. And he puts his effort, and he asked me the question, I'm putting the best of my results, but my boss is forcing me to complete it, even though it's not feasible. And you are saying, leave the results to Krishna. So what should I do in this case?
So make the endeavor to get the results. The point is impossible means, in other words, he has a job, right? And the job ultimately is going to culminate in Grihastha Ashram, if he's not already there, right? Right? So Grihastha Ashram is the impossible.
Not being attached to results means that the result of it's not yours. But that's his.
I'm Thank you. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Oh,